Stories have a particular power. The story of our lives becomes a narrative, and that narrative weaves spells. Gyesa, I suppose. The quests we give ourselves, with their own achievements, their own rewards, their own unique side branches and interactive components. And like every quest, every journey, we are changed during. We can be changed during the course of the quest's completion. I have a preoccupation with stories, with collecting them, with sharing them. And I like to think all hypnotists do, with sharing them to great effect, to induce a state, to bring about a state different from what was there before. Listening to stories sometimes demands attention, a focus which can induce you to yawn, to experience fatigue but pleasantly, or just to feel some heaviness in your body. And I won't be in particular demanding anything at all, but it's even all right for you to close your eyes. Or to ride the waves and tone of my voice without too much attention to the contents. Words have rhythms, and because people expect you to pay attention when they talk to you, you don't always get to experience the rhythm of just listening, following those rhythms up, and then eventually down. It's a luxury you often only get to experience during storytelling, especially storytelling which is a prelude to trance. Night-night. To the deeper places, when you're ready to listen to a story, one culled from experience or pulled from the mind, you slide there. And in this case, a story of going deeper, a story born from observing someone very closely, seeing their breathing slow, really watching for the moment it happens, watching as the floating awareness of a body fades away, and becomes so much white noise in the background as the voice is followed up to the highest heights of alertness, awareness, readiness, ability, but precise and confident ability, so you know you can do anything in that state of highest waking alert awareness. And that same person over time, with a few words, and a little more encouragement, speech, story. The person might drift from that alert awareness to such a heightened, focused state that some things fade to the background. The specific contents of the speech, the details of the story, winnowed away, leaving only the joyous status. The time and throughout time, relaxing into the confidence of alertness. This can become very similar to sinking into the night-night, deep doldrums of sleepy openness. The similarities do not, of course, end there. The way in which you, when alert and confident, or in which the subject of our story, when alert and confident, might be inclined to only move if you needed to move only with precision and purpose, to only speak if you needed to, alert and confident, and therefore inclined to perform only the bare essential actions this individual needed to proceed confidently. When I observe them, spoke to them, of course, just as someone in a deep relaxing state of sleep of profound peace and ease might find they perform only the actions they need to because they're so drowsy and deep as they slide deeper. The similarities between alert, focused, forceful wakefulness and deep, dreaming, passive, following sleep. Those similarities might be so great that in either state, trance is equally accessible, equally possible. But what changes is the narrative, the suitability of your state and your mind, or our subject's mind, our subject's state, and my storytelling, the suitability of being able to calibrate, calculate, until eventually you know that whether it is alert, confident wakefulness, or peaceful night-night sleeping pliability, the most appropriate state for the words being said to be well received is the one that subject, this subject, will adopt. Versatility, variability, leads to suggestibility and unique suitability to the really quite impressive act of sliding down, adopting the appropriate state of up or down, based on whether action is being required. Well, I'll give you an example. It's always easiest to give examples, to tell stories with Direct application. Try closing your eyes for me, just for a sec. If they're already closed, then you're ahead of the game. But once closed, or once you're aware and focused on how they're already closed, and if our subject were to envision closing a second set, inside, internally, the meta-awareness of eyes, the concept, if you could do that for me as part of the exercise, just for 3 or 4, 5, 6 seconds, then you can probably also imagine keeping your eyes closed on the exterior, the physical, but opening a set inside, the meta-awareness of eyes within, opening them and keeping them open for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 seconds. But like all eyes, the ones inside in this story, this imaginative space inside your head, they might need to blink, just to keep them fresh and alert and ready. Because you hold either set of eyes open too long, eventually, like all eyes, they will need to close. To close from fatigue, and for comfort, or for safety. And the comfort and safety found when both sets of eyes are closed, slammed, fallen, down, shut. Well, that can be really useful to you, and especially useful for listening to a certain kind of story. Except, of course, the state I just described, where your external eyes are closed, but the concept of them is open and ready and occasionally blinking, occasionally fluttering, occasionally shutting completely, while the opposite state might sometimes also occur. For your inner eyes to be closed, receptive, safe, comfortable, and your external eyes open to allow for movement or precision or sight, while your mind indulges in the fading, vacant pleasures of a nice story. A story told about your actions, like any metaphor, any example. The story and the reality need not always be precisely the same, but together they create a narrative, a path, our story. And that's what we have co-created, what we can explore. And all from a few stories, a little meandering, and the simple act of opening or closing your eyes.